This is G for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, welcome to G for Yourself. Great to have you with us today, wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. I'm looking at some fairly recent numbers here that say 75% of North Americans believe in angels. In the North American culture, they're likely to be associated with at least one or more of these concepts, and those include wishes, an ability to grant our deepest desires. Many people believe in their dreams and omens of good to come, and the angels part in that. Protection, a force that stands between us and evil, and many believe that angels signify a connection to a higher power. Well, some people think, too, that angels are sweet, loving, heavenly beings who sit around singing and playing the harp. I got a lot of that as a kid, and you probably did, too. Our guest today says angels are actually powerful allies who are always available to help us manifest the health, the wealth, and the life of our dreams. Corinne Grillo is a psychotherapist, healer, teacher, angel channel, and the author of The Angel Experiment, a 21-day magical adventure to heal your life. Corinne, thanks for being with us on the program. You wrote in the book that the angels inspired you to write it. Take us through that process. Describe the angelic inspiration that produced this book.
Yes. Well, this book, I was working on a different project and I was already working with angels at the time, but I thought I was working on one project. And then there was kind of a hit the brakes moment. The angels kind of came through. And how they come through for me is that they just start sometimes showing me pictures or give me an inspiration or really fun idea. And then I know, okay, maybe I need to pay attention to this. But this one was really clear. How the book came to be was that they wanted to create an angel holiday. And how they wanted to do that was for angels to give humans gifts. So it was 21 gifts that they wanted to give.
Hmm. Well, you also say that you prayed to the angels during a tough period of your life. And just for the sake of those who may be going through some difficult period of their own or some challenges, describe your life at the time that the whole transition happened, that you made that move or that you got that inspiration.
Yes. I would say the first decades of my life were really full of struggle and rough upbringing. And so I struggled with, you know, major depression for a very long time. Really my biggest prayer was hoping that that day would be my last. And that was pretty much every day from the age of 18 on. So, life wasn't always full of angels and bliss or joy, even. It was a real struggle. And I was not necessarily a religious person or anything like that. So I didn't really have any level of faith or prayer or anything like that in my life. But it was really, when I encountered the angels, it was very abrupt and very in your face to the point where I couldn't really deny it.
Well, you're not an extremely religious person, I know, but does a situation like this or a discovery like this give you pause to think about religion or a God force or anything like that? Do you
want? Well, absolutely. I mean, after I had that experience, then I had to like get to thinking. Now, it's not like I didn't believe in some kind of force or something behind the scenes. I just didn't really have any beliefs specifically about angels and if they were real. And when I say not religious, I just mean I didn't come from a traditional religion, but I've always had a sense of spirituality. So yes, but after working with angels, how I work with angels and how they came to me, it really does transcend religion. It's not about being Buddhist or Christian or Jewish or anything like that. It's just that angels, since the beginning of time, people have talked about benevolent beings. And I'm not just talking about the Christian religion. I'm talking about most religions and indigenous religions around the world talk about benevolent beings that are here for us. And so if everybody's talking about it all over the world, that means it kind of is bigger than religion and is ancient and it's for everyone.
Now, of course, you're a psychotherapist, and I'm wondering, did your colleagues, folks in the psychotherapy community, kind of raise an eyebrow or two and say, well, wait a minute, why, this doesn't belong in our practice. What are you doing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was really weird. It was weird for me. And I was a little, you know, I had what you call angel shame. Like, I didn't want to talk about it out loud because it's like, okay, this is weird, guys. I know it's weird. But I had all of this radical angel activity happening in my life. My heart and my mind were going under radical transformations. And then eventually I started feeling guided to start using these energy practices and working with angels in my one-on-one practice, which was awkward, but effective, awkward, and amazing. But yeah, my colleagues, of course, people were like, what are you doing? And is that even, you know, is that going against our license? And can you even talk about angels? And, you know, there's all of these snags along the way, these little trip wires of really kind of holding me back from speaking out the truth. But the bottom line is, once I started working with angels, my life underwent all kinds of healing. And as a therapist, you have an obligation, like you want to help people. And I prefer to help people as quickly as possible. And the fact was, when I started using these angel practices, people started getting better, faster, quickly, sometimes same session. So yeah, over time, my peers saw what was happening, meaning my business started overflowing and theirs was still kind of like crickets, right? It's like, what are you doing? Well, I told you what I'm doing. I'm doing intuitive work and angel work, and I don't know what happened. It's just happening. And so eventually, and this was, you know, I don't know, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago when I actually started including it in my practice. But yeah, I think over time, even my peers have come around. And I think even today, when I started doing this work, it was less talked about or less spiritual in the community as it is now. I think therapy and other forms of medicine are moving towards energy and moving towards and rightfully so, they need to do that. So I think we're all kind of awakening to the fact that energy is real and that there may be other secret ways to do some healing, whether it's your mental health, emotional health, and spiritual health.
Yeah, I like the energy facet of all of this. I want to talk about that in just a minute. I know you welcome healthy skepticism, but how do you react when someone says to you, well, I don't believe in angels? Do you have an elevator speech that you give them? Do you just them go? What do you say?
It's very simple. You don't have to believe in angels. They believe in you. And so, so all you have to do is just have a little mini door that's open to the possibility. Again, it's not faith. It's not a belief system. It's practice and really opening up the possibility. So what do you think? What do you think about that? What do you think about that elevator speech? What do you think?
I like that. That makes sense to me. I'm an energy guy, and I don't worry about beliefs and faiths and things. I see everything is energy, and energy has everything. And I wanted to bring up, speaking of energy, the idea that when you're, petitioning the help of an angel, that you're actually moving, the word I use, maybe it's not a good word, but it's manipulating energy to work in your favor, because whether you work with the energies or not, they're working, and you could have bad fortune, good fortune, whatever. Why not put them on your side? So I see it as, rather than, you know, the way I was raised with the little cats in the white gowns floating around the sky, I'm thinking this is an energetic practice that when you are on the right side of it, it just works for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it opens up the floodgate to awesome. And I didn't know that, but I just, you know, I believe in allies, and that can, you know, when you're working with certain frequencies, it opens you up to certain frequencies. And I love what you said. It's like the energy's always working. It's just whether or not it's working in your favor. And I was a masterful energy worker before I met angels. I was masterfully suffering and working my magic, my mental magic towards that cause. Because I didn't have any tools or resources to break out of it. And it was really the working with angels that started cracking open the crust, that energy. And for, you know, for me, and what they showed me is like our bodies and our energy bodies are like car engines. And if you do work a car engine and don't service it for 35 years, if you open up the hood, more than likely the engine's going to seize, or it's going to be gunky, full of rats and all kinds of unwanted things. And so that's what happens to most of us if we're not aware of energy or energy bodies. So angels and angel frequencies really helps decrust, degrease the system. Mm-hmm. So you can start experiencing your natural joy.
Mm-hmm. In your practice, when you speak to clients, or even before you speak to them, when they find out about your work, do you publicize the fact that energy work is, or that angel work is, you know, a possibility? Do you hold back on that, or do you use it on a case by case level? How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I definitely kind of kept that. That was like the secret of, you know, people had to refer people, or people had to know about me. You had to know someone to know me to get to me, kind of thing. But yeah, and after a while, it was, you know, to be honest, like back then when I was doing a lot of one-on-one, I didn't have to market because people just kept telling everybody, because the angel work was so powerful and amazing for them. And for many of them, it was the first time they had an actual palpable connection with the spiritual realm. They could feel the presence of angels with them, and they could feel things open up and cool things would start happening for them. And so, but I know I don't really do a lot of one-on-one practice now. Mostly I train and teach internationally people how to do work with angel ritual, and also how to open up their intuitive spiritual gifts to start being energy, to start healing their own bodies, minds, souls, and also to help heal others.
So would you say then that the body, in cooperation with the energies, really have all of the healing necessities that there are? In other words, there really isn't a need, let's say, for powerful drugs and things like that. The body can just heal itself. I tend to feel that way, that there's really only one disease, and that's dis-ease. And if you can get in line somehow with that, then you got a pretty good handle on your health.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, what I noticed. So when I first in, cause I experienced a miracle and saw a miracle, and that's what activated me. And that's what kind of showed me what was real and what was not real in a way. But at the time I had a horrible case of asthma. I was, of course, taking antidepressants and all of this stuff. My mental and physical health were suffering big time. And yes, after a while, I noticed that I stopped having asthma, and I wasn't trying to cure at my asthma. It's just, it was a natural byproduct of my engine starting to work again. And also just, you know, living in celebration of spirit, just helps lift your, raise your vibe, and you get support that way. But I, you know, as a psychotherapist, I'm not here to necessarily say I don't believe in medication, or I don't believe, because there's some cases that, especially with extreme mental health disorders, of having a psychotic break, get some Seroquel, like get some, just get people contained and then work your system through. But there are many cases where people can cure whatever disease with light. I just had a student who graduated from my 6-month intuitive angel healing program, and she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer last year. And the doctors told her to do the thing, you know, do chemotherapy and to have surgery. And she sat with her intuition, and her intuition said, no, don't do that. And so what she did was she did the energy practices that she had learned in our healing academy, and she changed her diet And so within a year, the doctors got back to her. They were baffled. They said all of her cancer was gone. This just happened. She just messaged me about a month ago.
Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Corinne Grillo, author of The Angel Experiment, a 21-day magical adventure to heal your life.
To get into the program itself for an overview, it's pretty economical. It requires just 5 to 10 minutes a day for 21 days. What is the secret sauce in that 5 to 10 minutes?
The secret sauce is your intention and the power in which you can connect. So if you think of like martial arts, and the most efficient movements are like, you know, the shortest, most punchy ones. And so it's like spiritual martial arts where you do an invocation, and that instead of just prayer, you invoke, meaning you activate these potent energies to come alive inside of you. And then these healing meditations, these are angel frequencies getting channeled and moved out to folks as well. So yeah, it's like the martial arts of spiritual work is like, you know, 10, 15 minutes a day, your intention and your daily intention is important. Sometimes when people pray, they're just like, okay, and then, you know, on to their next thing. And a lot of times when they're praying, they're mostly like kind of complaining. They're not in their power. And so an invocation is like you making a conscious connection in your power to begin to open up your life to something miraculous.
Well, that connection sounds like a prayer in itself. I mean, that kind of working with the energies is prayerful rather than the kind of prayers that I learned, and maybe you did too, you know, out of the Baltimore Catechism. Well, what exactly does prayer mean to you? Did you just explain that, or can you give areas in this case?
Yeah, well, I mean, prayer is beautiful, and I do a lot of praying, but when I work with angels, I like to create ceremony out of it. And so a ceremony includes an invocation, and an invocation and prayer maybe sound similar, but the energy is so different. So when you see people praying, or when you hear people go, oh, pray for me, I'm losing my house, or pray for me because I'm doing this, it comes from a different energy. It's like you can tell they feel separate from source, and that they're calling in this higher power. They're calling in this energy, but they feel like they're separate from it. Whereas an invocation includes you as a part of the magical equation.
There was, there is an endorsement in the book that calls you a bridge between the realms, the angelic realm, the human realm, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, I did not call myself the bridge. Someone else did. So I feel like if anything, I'm more like an ambassador. I'll speak on behalf of the angels, but really it's really the angels and the human that's inviting them in. It's really between them. So I create an opening, a down to earth opening. So people are often kind of shocked that I'm as down to earth and honest as I am about things, because they're used to angel people who are not as kind of rough around the edges as I can be when I'm my own self. I'm cleaning up my act for you, John, but but in regular life, I go into interesting territory. So I just feel like I feel almost hired by them, but all of us can be hired by spirit or by the divine to speak the truth. It's just those of us who are out there doing it are just the ones who are crazy enough to actually, they had the audacity to say a bunch of weird stuff out loud.
Society in general seems to have more and more people than ever who feel like they really don't have any purpose. And I'm wondering how can angelic work move people into a better sense of direction?
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. So I felt like I didn't have purpose before I kind of had my activation, my awakening. And there might be a lot of people out there who are just kind of lost and wondering, you know, if they have a purpose or whatever. So what the angels did very beautifully, very gently, was that the energy that we were working with essentially tapped me back into my heart, into my fun, into my deeper desires. And so what they did was they gave me, in a sense, the green light for me to pursue those fun things. even if they didn't seem practical, or if I didn't have money, or if I didn't have time for them, it's like I had the strength to finally listen to the good voice inside of me and start doing things that were going to make me happy. Now, when you do things towards the goal of making yourself happy, and you take those positive risks towards those goals that most of us don't let us take because it's like safety, even if the safety feels like prison, many of us are living in that state. But when you kind of unbound just even one or two bars out of your prison and you say yes to some good things along the way, that will naturally lead you to your joy. And underneath your joy is your purpose and your mission. And so for me, this angel thing was really weird. I was a psychotherapist. And then all of a sudden I witnessed this miracle that I talk about in the book. And then I go, oh my gosh, this stuff is real. I have to learn about it. So I took like a angel training that was really expensive a few months later, just so I can learn more. Like, okay, I love the angels. Let me learn more. But it was super impractical. I mean, there's no way I'm going to do anything with the angels. I was just curious and it made me happy. I was already a psychotherapist, spent tens of thousands of dollars on this stuff. But here I am getting led into this thing for fun. And so that's how fun, how angels can kind of show you your mission. You just follow the trail of party. You just go, oh, God, that sounds like fun. That seems bigger than me. That seems weird. I don't think I could do it, but it sounds so exciting. I might as well try, kind of thing.
There may be some people who think that they're getting some sort of calling. How do people know? What are some signs that they may be being nudged in that direction?
Okay. Sometimes it's repetitive communication, like you might hear it on the radio or hear it from a friend or hear people talking at coffee and they're talking about exactly something about what you're thinking about doing. So you might get it from a few different places. If you're lucky, you'll get it from a few different places, but that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just a repetitive thought. It's like this urge, this inspiration. And our task is to not go, okay, are the angels guiding me to do this? But to go, hey, does this feel like a good idea to me? Yeah, it's a little scary. And then jumping in, and then angels come and support you. So some people are waiting for like the ultra green light to finally take the leap, and they might be waiting till their grave. Sometimes you just have to take the leap and then watch the universe conspire to support you. And that's when you know, oh my gosh, angels, right? So I had to let go of my private practice. I had a month warning. Essentially, Spirit said, this is your last month, or I just got the feeling like I have to be done, even though I was loving it and it paid for half of our household. So I let it go and I didn't know like, oh gosh, what's going to happen? But at that stage, I was already used to taking these quote unquote leaps of faith and didn't know where I was going to head. And so I was leaving the office the next day. After I was out of the office, this woman calls me pretty randomly. She said, hey, I heard you work with angels. And I said, yeah, I do. She said, well, we have a church down the road and there's an open office. You don't happen to need an office, do you? And the office was this house, this whole house. And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I do need an office. And it was right down the street from me as opposed to 20 minutes away. It was crazy. So it's things like that. You get this urge, you get this inspiration, and then you just go, you cross your fingers.
Talk about some of your clients' experiences, especially those who had physical challenges in their lives.
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, over the years, there's been so many. I just told you about the woman who had her cancer cured. We just had another woman whose breast cancer went into remission. We've had people with chronic diseases like fibromyalgia. I'm forgetting some of the names of the other ones who, with steady practice and working these angel practices and energy practices, have gone down to zero pain. And these were people who were in bed most of the time. I was just talking to a student, one of my students, a few months ago, and I didn't realize this, but when she joined my program, she was in bed for 90% of her life, because she couldn't get out of bed. So she took an online program, right? So, because she could do that from bed. And yeah, she's out of bed. She said it's totally flipped. She's only in bed 10% of the time and she's living now.
What do you want readers to take away from this book?
I want them to actually develop a real palpable relationship with the divine, with spirit. that is not about faith or a belief system. It's about experimenting and practice and developing faith through experimentation and going, oh my gosh, this is real. And that's very much what the angel experiment is about. It's an experiment. You just try it for 21 days. But I didn't know that it was as real as it is. And I just really want people, I want to reach people to say, you have support right there, right now. And they're literally waiting to break you out of prison.
Your website is CorinneGrillo.com. That's C-O-R-I-N. The book is The Angel Experiment, a 21-day magical adventure to heal your life. From our guest, Corinne Grillo. Corinne, thanks. I hope at some point, you know, you come back and talk to us again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Make sure you head for CheaperYourself.com, and on the start page there, you'll see a small box at the top of the page. You can leave your email address in there, and I will make sure you get notification of all guest appearances on the show. And, of course, you'll get those Genuline's blog posts as well. Lots of good content comes your way when you subscribe, so make sure you do that. Thank you, too, for the follows and the likes on social media. Those are always appreciated. That is going to do it. I thank you again for being here. Be well, and I will talk to you soon.